So this week we have Aisha Salem joining us for a conversation. So much appreciate your availability all the way from Denmark, Aisha.
Thank you.
So Aisha's background defies description to some extent, but I'll do my best to provide an immediate overview. After a seemingly normal upbringing, including university life, business school, marriage, and children, she went through an inner shift driven by a singular question, who am I? And the depth of seeking that answer has led to the transformation of thoughts, words, and activities, where today, my understanding, she traveled the world simply sharing this journey of inquiry with whoever individuals will ask that of her. And today she's decided to share some of that journey with us. Aisha, I would love to start on the discussion topic of turning points. What gets into a young, conventionally successful woman to undergo the level of shift that has happened to you starting in your early 20s?
Are you asking like what was behind it or?
Yeah. What was the space that allowed for that kind of inquiry to arise?
Actually, there wasn't really any. There wasn't any space for it at the time. I was basically living like a completely ordinary life. As such, it came in the. Yeah. In the dissatisfaction of having. Worked towards that which supposedly was supposed to make me happy. Yeah, there was just a specific point in time where I just felt how dissatisfying the whole thing was. Everything that I had worked towards in terms of creating that like that picture of my living life. As everyone else was moving with it.
What was it that was the dissatisfying component as you witnessed it?
It was the fact that that all of those things that I thought that I wanted showed out to actually be based on a collective consciousness. And the movement of life, which is based on this, like, yeah, the conventional way of thinking, basically, which, well, it just showed that in that part of achieving all that I wanted to achieve, it just showed that none of it was worth anything, basically. It was missing, missing the basic component, which was myself.
Can you share a little bit about what you mean by this phrase, collective consciousness, which may or may not be so familiar to our audience?
Yeah. In surrender, we fall deeply into the voice of ourself, and that self is the voice of our own life. And our own life, as the outfit, is like filled up with the voices of everyone we ever listened to in that part of being groomed to live as a part of a society. And so the collective consciousness is basically the state of consciousness, which is, at this point at least, to a very large extent based on, based on living like as individuals, living in the separated state, living according to the ego rather than allowing the wanting to be surrendered to the pure will, which is then the revelation of the true heart.
So to make sure that I'm understanding, what I'm hearing is there was this pre-programming that you and seemingly everybody has gone through that has led us to want what we want. And when you were in a state of achieving that, you were able to turn around and look back and say, wait a second, this isn't really what I want.
It was not so much a looking back as it was truly arriving in this moment of seeing that which I thought I wanted based on like looking outside of myself and listening to, like, it's just like, you know, as a kid, we come out and we are like blank sheets, but then we just pick up keys of consciousness from whoever is around. Yeah, if we grow up in a society, it's not basically important, which is that then it's just another invitation to get lost in. It means that anyone who doesn't make that choice of listening to themselves, they do get lost in that collective consciousness and what it states until everything is questioned. Everything is dissected until everything has been allowed to fall off. Basically makes us naked in that way of knowing that we don't know anything, because as the outset, the only thing we can do is grasp at whatever knowledge is available to us and then try to create some kind of world picture or a picture of how reality is based on that. And this is, of course, what makes up that collective.
Aisha, did we lose you? Sorry, folks, we have Aisha joining us on Skype today, so just wanting to make sure that the connection is strong. Aisha, if you can hear me, we can't hear you, so maybe you'd like to call right back.
I'm back. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that as background. And as you started down that path of questioning within yourself, were there others that were involved in that process? And generally speaking, do you feel is the role of the other in this path, or have you found that it's very much an inner process?
Basically, in the tearing down of the belief system, we basically lose the everything that this other you're talking about is based on, and it meant that it became a completely inwards asking inquiry. We have to become really selective in terms of who we listen to.
Aisha, this is Rahul. I wanted to jump in with a question. So in that moment where you sort of arrived at this sense of dissatisfaction and this process of sort of inner inquiry, what was really the first manifestations, the first reactions to that would be observable from the outside? Or was it completely just, no one could tell what was going on with you?
I don't think anyone could tell what was going on, but it is of a hell of it's just like one it changed everything. To ask about the first thing that was that there was a direct living according to love for myself, and that meant that I spent some time completely dissecting my life in that way where I let everything fall off of my life, which didn't make sense according to this demand for truth.
What were some of those things that started falling away?
What they were?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing was the job. At that point, I was living in this suburban house with the car with the leather seats, and I worked in a big international firm, and I had a good decision there and all this, so I got good money also. But I just saw the dissatisfaction that kept on rising in me, agreeing to be somewhere where I basically didn't feel there was a background of it being at all useful in a bigger picture that I was being there. Because it felt like a waste of my love, a waste of my time and of my life, to be somewhere where the only one who benefited from me being there 8 hours a day was basically me and some company which was based on making money.
So you just quit right then and there?
Actually, I did. At this point, I was, the first thing, there was even before that, which was that yeah, there was this demand for love to sweep in all over, and it just became obvious that I couldn't find that, I couldn't re-find the connection with the guy I was with. So I moved away from there, and then I re-established everything, but then it was the job that went. And at this point, I was like a single mother, but I just, yeah, I just, it was this very straight and radical demand for things to make sense, basically.
Wow.
And Aisha, it also sounds like other aspects of your life started to be shed at that same time. Can you share a bit more about that?
Started to be what?
Other aspects of your life started to shed themselves at that time.
Yeah, but actually every aspect of my life started to shed at that time. Because I just, I couldn't accept that there were places where things didn't make sense.
And what did that lead to in terms of action?
Oh, that's a long story, but yeah, well, it started out with this demand that I took like 3 weeks where I was sitting and looking out over the fields and just feeling, okay, I know I'm not supposed to be at that job anymore, so what am I supposed to do? And just that part of internally taking that responsibility for my life, for my love, basically, it meant that everything started to shift into place, and it also meant that some of the issues that I had back then started like to balance themselves out, like with a snap of two fingers, basically. And it basically just meant that I just saw that, okay, hey, all of a sudden my view of what was going on expanded. And then in fully being willing to allow this to be of benefit to everyone, it meant that the moment that I acted on this, it brought in greater knowledge. So there was like a constant expansion going on for like a year and a half, where I basically went through some very massive spiritual experiences. Like every day, my consciousness was expanding further and further and further. And yeah, it brought in all sorts of things, like resetting of the mind and trances and like, yeah, I mean, all sorts of things. But every day, getting wider.
Sorry to interrupt. You had mentioned that this had led to certain aspects of your life spontaneously moving back into balance. Can you share a bit more about what that meant in a specific field? Let's say, you know, your life's work, or let's say relationship.
Well, now you say relationship. What specific relationships do you mean?
It could be relationship with others broadly, or in a primary relationship, if you felt like that was a place where you were in the flow of sharing.
In allowing myself to live as the love, which is the basic ground of being, which is pure life, it also started layer from layer to shave off every aspect of this, which is the outset of people loving in the heart. It means that this personal hierarchy of loving started breaking down one by one, and it meant that the love for everything rose and rose and rose in that way, which basically lifted the way I was viewing what you call other straight into that love which I have for my son. So it wasn't like love got less in its turning from that personal hierarchy and to the impersonal, in where there is only sameness. It was more like everything was lifted into the same intimacy of loving everyone and everything enough to be completely naked as soul, completely naked and present and embracing whatever like appeared in front of me. And it did mean that, my door started opening and people started appearing and abilities and stuff. And then people started coming to like satsangs and for healing at my place, basically. So that became the kickoff somehow of this work, which is now what it is.
So when you describe this journey, specifically the year and a half as you've gone through it, and I think since then as well, it sounds like it's very much a process that you went through on your own that wasn't connected to traditional approaches, if you will, from Christian religious or Krishnamurti pathlessness-based approaches. What has been your connection with what we'd call traditional approaches of going within?
Yeah, as it is now, in this whole unfolding of unraveling the pure consciousness, which is basically God consciousness, it's like through this whole process, there was like a turning up in the fire of life itself, which removed all of these, now you say, like traditions. It's like whatever religion is there, whatever tradition is there, it has some kind of link into the past, embrace truly the present time. And that means that it is that love which is basically the core of every religion and tradition, and which basically is that which it's all about. It's the invitation to realize self, to realize truth. And in this, in the whole revelation of every dimension of our own beings, be that both the true man in terms of the individual being and its transparency in terms of ego, but also the revelation of ourselves to be pure life in the realization of the pure heart, but also that which is the rest as pure mind, which basically goes completely beyond existence and is actually just pure awareness.
So would love to hear your thoughts on connecting this into what would conventionally be called creating value. So there are many folks out there, I myself having a business background come across a lot of them, who wonder about the value of going within as a primary practice, as it doesn't seem to touch upon many of the major crises facing humanity today. My boss is a big advocate of working against climate change, and the idea of going within is a little bit confusing as a path to approach that. So what is your interface with those types of viewpoints?
Yeah. Okay, I can state this, that in the revelation of all the subtle tricks that the ego is playing on the mind, one of the tricks that will be revealed in that part of going in is something which I refer to as the savior syndrome. In terms of going in, there is no greater gift which can be given to the whole of this entire universe than you realizing yourself. And it is like this because that which is looking out can always only do its best based on not seeing any kind of full picture. This also means that in terms of this, you say with creating value, the greatest value happens in that surrender where the want, which is the base and basic of the ego, is delivered straightly into the fire of pure will, which is the will of the heart. Because right there, the realization of one life as in one being becomes the revelation of this one being, which then is recognized to be yourself taking care of itself. It's just like the software which is installed in the body as this individual, like clinging to the fact of being an individual and then doing its best to make some kind of value. If you inverse this thinking, this looking at things, right there will be a recognition that there is no one here. But in that recognition, when this is combined with the surrender to pure life, it will also bring the body into its new operating system, where basically it is always operating on what's needed. So in this, there is a complete cleaning up and clearing out of any sign of selfishness, which is based on separation.
I wanted to build off of your answer in wondering about this direction being so connected to the idea of surrender. And again, looking at the society in a dominant paradigm, and even myself, there's a lot of fear. And so when you talk about surrender wholeheartedly, there's almost this question inside that says, what is the path? What is the first step that I can work on being able to surrender in such a way? Because when I go into the office every day, talking about saying, okay, well, let's just surrender, is a very difficult place to be coming from and expecting people to move on that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it is. people basically, it does. For everyone or other, in terms of where and what is the actual and best way of embracing truth for me right now. For some people, it is the embrace of pure mind. For some people, they are ready for the heart, for the love, and for the full depth they need to develop some kind of healthy ego, which then will be able to hold pure spirit. So it's a little hard to generalize in terms of making an answer like this. Facilitation can basically only happen like to the individual. But with that said, in terms of this, just for the sake of answering whatever you asked, like as if you are asking, in terms of this surrender, yes, there is a lot of fear. This fear is the working grounds of the ego. So when you say this, like how to approach the surrender, there is a call for that which can be underlined as the basic dedication to truth. And this basic dedication to truth, it doesn't really matter where you are at in this whole unfolding thing, because the dedication to truth will, if you stay with that dedication, lead you through every single alley of what needs to dissolve. Because this is how the universe works. The universe always shows you, presents to you, and bring you into situations where you are presented with that which you are supposed to learn from. So when you say this about the fear, it all comes back to ourselves. Everything comes back to ourselves, which is also why this like what I refer to as the savior syndrome. It's actually, I found out from my own movement back in time, that this that wanted to basically change the world was actually a call to change myself. It was some kind of attempt to look out instead of in. Because the moment that there was not that agreement to look out anymore, then I was standing with the fact, which is that basically the only one who is here is me.
I really appreciate that reflection. And it leads to a second place of inquiry that comes up for me. This idea of not just surrender, but capacity. So
yes.
Again, going to picking on myself. So I am personally on a journey of trying to ask what is truth. And when I come up against hard facts on that, so let's say, my work is not aligned with my truth, I don't necessarily have the capacity to make a change at that level. So despite that dissonance happening inside of me, I live with that day-to-day discord rather than act upon it. And I'm wondering if you have thoughts or reflections on how that capacity can be built.
Basically, this comes down to this that we talk about with the surrender. Because when you talk about capacity, Surrender is not just a melting down. It's also, within that melting down, a rise as complete clarity. So the moment that there is willingness in you to face your fears, and this willingness, it comes with your no. It comes with your choice of love for yourself, because whether we want it or not, everything is designed by the way that you see the world. So the moment that you insist on this idea of you and other and you have to and all of this, it's like your mind is put together, it's structured in a way where it's like a completely air solid system. And this means that if you don't allow yourself to ask the questions of what is actually true, what is it that I believe? Because when you say this about capacity, you say, I don't have the capacity. But then I ask you again, who is making that statement? It can only be an ego making that statement. And then it all comes down to you making the choices you have made in the limits. It's taking complete responsibility for yourself to evolve as truth in you. Because right there, when that choice is made, everything bends according to that dedication. The holding back, that's where you are basically, tripping your own legs. So it all comes down to basically the gut, having the gut to stand with what's right and what's real for you, you know?
And that connection that you're making between the wish to change at the outer level and the call that it really signifies to change at the inner level, that's a clarity that I think is not prevalent across most folks. And to me, that's a big prerequisite of wanting to follow through with a lot of these actions. How did you get to a space of being clear that, in fact, it really is about inner change? That's the only place.
Well, to start out with, I didn't know any of this. I didn't know any of what has revealed to me as not knowing anything. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
I'm saying that what I needed to realize was that I didn't know anything, and that my only choice was to trust life. That life which I heard when I stated for a fact that I didn't believe in any of the old things which I used to put up as a world picture of me and other or anything like that. Just like, okay, look, I don't know what to do. I don't know who I am. I don't know anything. So what is my only option? My only option is to listen inwards. And in that listening inwards, there can be confusion for many people. And this confusion comes up with the fear. So once we spot that there is fear, then it is our responsibility not to let the fearful control what we do, how we move, etc. So there is this, which makes it not, it's not just about an inner inquiry, and it doesn't separate anything from anything else. If anything, it brings in its totality, everything into the same reality. And it doesn't happen until we take the full responsibility of bringing truth into every aspect of our living lives.
Mm.
If truth is realized from anything but making that very distinct or taking that responsibility, then realization will always become something which is like once removed or off the ground or like something which is like our reality but not the reality of what we're living. And it creates just another and more subtle aspect of duality, basically. So in the dedication to truth, the dedication needs to be total. But when there is not total dedication, then what? Then it's only always about the next step, of course. Because it always is only about the next step. But in every moment, all of us have it in us to be as truthful, to be as real, to be as loving as possible. It is only when we don't take this responsibility. This is where the fear starts playing in. This is where surrender seems to not be an option, and so on and so forth. Because we all have places, we all have been gifted in with like the social inheritance. the collective consciousness. Everyone has picked up on that.
Well, Aisha, this is the psychological wall that I think we're all working up against. And to connect again that outer and the inner, there's a lot of collective awareness now of the issues that our collective consciousness has put us into with regards of really humanity's survival on this planet. And when we talk about the inner wall as the place to be working on it, the insurmountability of that wall, and when we talk about walking into fear, walking into surrender, leads a lot of folks to say, well, we don't have time for that. You know, let's just get started working out there somewhere. What would be your response to that?
As far as I can see, nothing is excluded from that surrender wherein we allow ourselves to take care of what's needed. But the moment that part, which is an idea to save the world, starts overruling the part of truly giving it our all in terms of allowing things to resolve on our own behalf, then it's very obvious that any work that we do on the world can only come from a place of standing with internal misunderstandings and then trying to remedy the misunderstandings by changing what's around us. If everyone took that responsibility, it would mean that, well, our kids wouldn't have to listen to consciousness from people who are based in that misunderstanding. It would mean that the people who are living actually start responding to each other in a responsible manner, where it's not about looking out or pointing out, but where it's about looking in and taking full responsibility for that which is not clean clear on the inside. And right there, the whole temperature of this place changes, simply because every time a finger is pointing out, three fingers are pointing back at yourself. And that means that every time we have this obsession with looking out at the world, actually there is like 75% call for us to do the work on the inside. It's not enough for us to change our surroundings when and if we are still deeply rooted and deeply controlled by the subconscious, which operates on fear. You see, because then the moment that anything comes up against this fear, everything will still react with the same primitive avoidance, which is basically the movement of most people at this point in time.
So given where you're seeing that at a macro level, and your work has been to engage with that with many people, where do you see as your own evolving edge of your own questioning right now?
My evolving edge, what does that mean?
That means that as you are continuing to grow in your own journey, where are you finding the questions arising within you?
Well, for a long time, just like to make it short, I had like really massive surrender going on to an extent which burned everything to that point where I just saw, where basically it ended with the cosmic consciousness, where I slid completely out of the subjective and my eyes turned into the objective, basically. And my life has been operating from there for a long time. It did mean that I started like operating as a spiritual teacher, but basically it was just like moving around planting the seeds of like opening hearts everywhere, you know, like the initiations to the purification of heart. However, it did end up being called into solitude. And in that solitude, there was basically this implosion completely of self or of God or whatever into pure space. This took a while. And then in the return from that, there has been an ongoing return of life, which has meant a merging between all and nothing in that way, which reemerges subjectivity, but from that place of complete vulnerability. So from my own point of view, I can say that in this point in time, the God realization and the truth realization are merging truly into the true man in that way, which basically means the embodiment of pure life as pure consciousness. So in that, it just places me as an individual in a very function for people in terms of assisting them on their way to truth.
Mm. So as we, as audience members and beyond, start walking into this journey of surrender ourselves at an external level, right? When we talk about this love essence that's happening internally, what are things that can be taken on externally, small or large, that would aid in that surrendering process within?
Basically, it's about everything. Nothing can be ruled out. What I saw through the time of surrendering is that it's not enough for me to surrender in terms of just myself as an individual. It also means that every relationship needs to be surrendered. And when I say surrendered, I mean that everything needs to be embraced in truth in the same way. And that means that we have to allow ourselves to live the cleanliness, which is the simplicity of natural life. It means allowing the things to fall off, which basically are based on something which just requires I don't even remember the word something which just entertainment, anything which is just living for itself in its own selfishness, basically must be invited into the same reality wherein there is care for everything. And
Aisha,
that also means that we...
Sorry, please continue.
No, please come.
I'm wondering if there is a skillful approach externally that allows for the unfolding of the truth of the everything that you're referring to. So for instance, if you say, okay, yes, everything needs to be changed, even if that were true, for many folks, that's such a hard pill to swallow. Is there a place externally that's almost like a Pandora's box where if you start going deeper into a concrete action, you know, whatever it is, make sure you breathe in the morning before you go to work or whatever it is, where eventually the layers of delusion start to unfold on their own?
What you're asking me for is a new religion, and I cannot give it. I cannot give it to you because every single ego is so magnificently put together that we each have our own places where we are tricking ourselves. And this also means that there cannot be put up a basic teaching. There can be the facilitation of people right where they are tripping their own legs, right where they are creating resistance against surrender and so on and so forth. So no, I cannot state anything in that regard.
Well, it's very, very helpful as background to continue to have us focus right back in and turn that camera inwards as we continue all of our journey.
Yes, definitely. If anything, I mean, it can only be stated as a larger thing, which if you ask me for anything, it would be that part of taking full responsibility for allowing life to be the case instead of the identification with somebody.
So I just wanted to, as you continue your answer, Aisha and Birju, I know you have a lot more questions. I wanted to open things up to our callers as well. If you've got a question for Aisha, please press *6 to get in that queue, and we will address them in order. Please, Aisha, continue with your response and Birju with your questions.
I didn't remember what I was saying, so.
The importance of turning the camera within and following in a space of taking responsibility.
Yeah. It's basically all about hitting that point zero where there's no one home. And no one home doesn't mean that then it's dead. It means that the emptiness that we realize ourselves as, in terms of dissolving identification with anything at all, that gets to leave in our surrender to the fullness of pure life playing itself out as love.
Hello, Aisha. This is Pallavi. First of all, thank you. Thank you for everything you're sharing. I love everything you're saying. And one of my personal challenges has been, you know, I have seen the surrender multiple times. Sometimes it lasts a moment, sometimes longer. And then you switch back into, I guess, your ego self. And what happens is doubt comes up. And I understand the doubt is coming up from the ego, because when you're in the state of surrender, there's actually no fear. There is no word for that state of surrender.
Yes. Yeah.
So my, you know, every time I hear, you know, shares like yours of someone who's gone through the process, it gives me a feeling of, oh, I'm sitting on this side and you have transcended and gone on that side. In my personal experience, this journey from here to there, whatever the here is and whatever the there is a big struggle. And I recognize the struggle only comes when the ego kicks in. I don't know why, but I have, I'm kind of wanting to know more about your deepest struggles through the transition, and how did your ego handle the struggle to be where you are now? Because I can see you completely trust the surrender in everything you're saying today. And I can see that. But how did your ego handle this transition? Or what was your biggest challenge through it?
I mean, there are so many chapters in terms of realizing reality, basically. And as you say, like for every conditioning we've had, which appears as these limits, as this fear, it will resurface itself as as that contracted state, which you call ego. What you need to let go of is this idea of here and there, because you're talking about it as if it's somewhere else, and it's definitely not. If anything, it's the part of arriving right here and now. And this is where you are locking yourself out. So in terms of surrender, as you talk about, what's called for is that your dedication stays completely clear and sharp, because the moment that your doubt comes, the moment your like every aspect of what you call ego, basically it's nothing but identification. And so in the demand, with the internal demand and in the internal surrender to truth, we have to keep on going. There is simply no stopping. There can't be any stopping. It's like, the willingness to give up that which is contracted, the willingness to give up that which is, at this point, what you consider to be you, has to become complete.
What I find in that process is now I've reached a point where I'm beginning to trust the surrender and trust that and what I need to be doing. But, you know, I don't live in that state of surrender. And so now I find when questioned by society, by my environment as to my choices, I find my ego now drawing, you know, a circle around that sacred space that I have seen, that I have a memory of, and say, I need to protect that sacred space, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So it's still a battle. When you're saying complete dedication to it, the dedication is still coming from the mind, right? So there is the fundamental question is, there is a challenge in translating that other world of surrender to the world of reality, and we as human beings are the instrument for the translation. And so, you know, I don't know if there are tools here for that translation, but that translation is probably a journey too, but I find that to be the difficult part.
Yeah, what you said before about the dedication coming from the mind, that's not true, because when dedication comes from the mind, it's not real dedication. Dedication involves the heart. And to be able to pave the way between the heart and the mind, we need to be dedicated to truth in terms that we cannot want love. We cannot want a better life for ourselves. We cannot want a state. We cannot want anything, because actually the wanting itself is something rising out of surrender. So in surrender itself, we are constantly called to give up every idea that we get about knowing anything. And in this regard, this that you talk about, the states that occur and that you need to protect it, I can only say that in every moment there needs to be letting go, even of realization. Because when we run into a realization of either the pure heart or the pure mind and so on and so forth, every dimension of being for a totality, a wholeness of being which allows embodiment, we need to allow the total letting go, which doesn't believe in clinging to anything. It does, however, mean that from the conscious point of view, as human beings, we need to constantly be in the front of our shoes where we are willing to do our best. That's the only thing that anyone can do. The constant willingness to allow everything to turn to its accurate state, which is its greatest potential.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aisha, this is Rahul. I have a question for you. I'm curious about how your relationship with your son has changed over the course of this unfolding for you.
Yeah. well, both my parents and my kid has been an interesting unfolding. for my kid, it has been, he was basically living with me when all of this started rolling off. He was 1 year old when that question rose in my head. What happened then was that I was letting go, and that meant that my view on him changed and changed. So that which started out like, you know, there was a body and it gave birth to this boy, and thereby there was a statement, I'm his mother. But even that turned out to also be a belief. In the surrender to love itself, it didn't mean that I turned out to not be his mother, of course. I didn't turn out to be his anything else, because in being with him, there is that total taking care.
I do want to build on your comment, Rahul, in that I think when we're talking about coming from a space of the internal, a lot of times it's really easy to lose oneself in the inner journey alone. And there's some edges that come with that. The largest being this, well, at least from my experience, the largest being this tendency to slip into the me-centered approach of self-realization, basically saying it's my enlightenment, and really externally anything that doesn't have to do with me is not so interesting anymore. I don't get the sense that that's what Aisha is saying, but I do feel that being able to clarify internally for each one of us where it is that we're truly coming from becomes really important when we start asking some of these questions.
Your son was so young when this process began for you, and so it very much was, and just as you know, your role as parent was evolving, your relationship and your inner journey was evolving. It just sort of happened in parallel with, you know, his growth. I'm curious about how your parents were reacting to the changes that were happening with you, and sort of what how that dynamic changed, how they looked at the process of your inner journey.
Yeah, they have. My parents have been extremely courageous and graceful through this whole process. And they have been so by being as supportive as they could to whatever was happening. Because in the periods where I had like three to five trances a day, I had like a small group of friends, like four people or so, who were basically assisting me by being my body sitters, because my body could go down all of a sudden. And it also meant that in that period I had, I had like an on-call helper always for that period of a specific period of time where Kundalini very much was shaking everything to pieces. And so in terms of the parents, whenever there was a need, I would probably say that the strongest definition in terms of holding on and protection that I had within me was in regards to my child. And it meant that he was the very last thing I let go of when I let go to truly drop off the map and to truly die into God itself. And in this, they were just very supportive. They had their concerns and all of this, but they were able to stand with the fact that I did not bend in terms of fear to these phenomena, which showed. And it was like this because, in terms of fear, in the surrender, I was blessed. I basically was very, very blessed. I had the internal connection unabrupted in that way, which made me able to surrender and trust that whatever came from the inside, whatever phenomenon that might show and did show from the inside, I just trusted that as long as it comes from the inside, it cannot have come to hurt me. And this basically carried me through all of these very, for some people, weird phenomena, but which actually are very accurate in terms of the deletion of the conditioning, the deletion of the belief system, the deletion of the personal hierarchy within the feeling system in the purification of the heart.
Aisha, beyond your Aisha. Son and your parents, were there other people that you would consider to be integral in your journey?
What do you mean when you say integral in my journey?
In reference to providing that space of action in relationship with another person, much like you're talking about your son saying, you know, he's in front of me, he has real needs. Are there other folks' needs or opportunities to share or whatever call you, but in those kinds of relational dynamics that you've seen elsewhere outside of those two relationships?
Yeah. I can basically say everyone. I have lived this reality as a complete disclosure of truth happening to me. I basically just made that decision of living as taking the consequence of being me. This is an important point, because this is often where people start sidestepping. They become afraid of what other people will think and this and that. But basically, when it comes down to it, we just need to take the responsibility for what and who we are and what's going on with us. Because right there, we come to live in a state of honesty where the universe can support us. If we don't allow that honesty to be the case, then, some people falls off in terms of them. Everyone has to make their own choice. And of course, there have been some people, although not a lot actually, who has had the need to not stay connected, to make some kind of conclusion to be able to keep up with like their own image of the world in a way. But in a way, I could say that everyone that I know, everyone I've met, actually, in some way, because I haven't done it from a place of selfishness, but has actually done it in that way, which has invited love to happen, not just for me or for my life, but across everything. And in that way, which makes me completely available to the whole world in terms of this, right there has been the complete support from everything.
Hello? You there?
Hi, guys. I'm sorry. This is Sarika calling from New York. I was using Christian's laptop and didn't realize that. Aisha, thank you so much for being with us today. Very, very beautiful to hear your honest sharings, and I'm really moved.
Thank you for joining.
I was just wondering, you know, sort of where I am in my journey is making time and showing up for my inner journey. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the role of discipline or creating creative constraints for a person like me. How important is it on a daily basis? And what could that look like? You know, if it's setting time in the day for certain types of practices and sort of having a routine or a regimen around it, do you think that's an important part of the journey?
As such, I can say that which people like to bring in as practices, that's almost like trying to add something to something else, while that which is needed is the emptying out of the something. And this means that in terms of meditation, for instance, mm-hmm. In regards to this embrace of truth, I mean, what is invited in the full embrace of truth is that we bring in truth as our living lives, just another addition to that which is living. There is a calling for an even deeper willingness, an even deeper dedication, which doesn't just add a something, but which basically invites the honesty into everything. So when you say this about discipline, you are completely right. There is something to this with learning to focus, because if everything is scattered all over the place, then right there, the focus must be to gather yourself in terms of the concentration of your life, but to do so in a way which allows things to slide into that part of you taking responsibility for yourself. I don't know if you know what I mean when I say this, but I mean in terms of bringing in this that you call discipline as your way of living, as your living reality, in that way where your discipline is to constantly be honest, to constantly allow like the contracted states to fall to the honesty of your pure feeling, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So in this way, I could say that, okay, I mean, yoga, it can be brought in as a practice which supports and so on, but we can also see it from the even more naked perspective, where yoga is that which is going on with if there's a pain here or there, then automatically letting the body move to release these tensions, you know? So there's like a calling for an even more natural way of living, basically, which is not about putting together like different components of how to live life, but allowing life to become one flowing, natural movement wherein the discipline is the one always and constantly being willing to do his or her best in every situation. You see, then the embrace of truth, then the dedication to truth becomes, it becomes this discipline.
Yeah.
And it allows every part of life to move into the same equation. Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, this is Pallavi again. Aisha, first of all, I want to express my deep gratitude to you for all of this today. Something you said to the in answer to one of the questions triggered this. You were talking about being completely honest to allow the universe to respond to it, or something to that effect. And my question is, a growing sense I have is that in that surrender lies our, you know, infinite potential. And what are your, what do you have to say about, you know, our ability to manifest our dreams, you know, based on thought or based on surrender, or is even wanting to manifest the dream coming from not a place of being? I don't know if I'm being articulate here, if you get what I'm trying to say.
It's a little hard, but I think maybe I was thrown off a little by this, you saying the part of living our dreams. is the question.
You might have been, might be familiar with the thing about law of attraction. You can manifest what you want. And how does that fit in with you know, your experiences and surrender and being honest? That's really what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Basically, that which some people call destiny is nothing but life's pure movement. So we can have a movement which is based on this that you call dreams, and on attempting to manipulate things in a way which manifests what we want. But this is not surrender.
Yes.
Surrender is about... there's nothing about living dreams in it. Very contrarily, if you always insist on living dreams, you will be asleep your whole life. The word itself says it. So what there needs to be is a willingness to embrace reality, because life has its very own plan. Life is one entity moving completely by itself. And in this, we can take that responsibility of surrendering to that which is recognized as our internal voice. Because this is the voice of you. And this voice of you, it doesn't hook up on living dreams, but it has always a greater perspective of actually being of best benefit in some way or another. This is where this, like, it can become an idea of being of service, but actually there is no greater service than being truly happy. And the true happiness shows itself when we are willing to surrender to the movement of our hearts. Because right there, this is life playing itself out. This is consciousness in play. But for consciousness to be able to actually play, we have to give up the idea of the identity and then start truly connecting to, what some people refer to as our higher self. Because that will always tell us what we truly feel like doing. But it's in no way about living dreams or about like manifesting some reality, because this is all too manipulative.
Speaking of being manipulative, I'm gonna we're sort of at the end of our allotted time. I'm gonna turn things over to you to close. Could you?
Yes, thank you so much, Rahul, and that segue is one for the ages. I'm so grateful, Aisha, for you to be taking time out this afternoon, evening for you, and to share with us this invitation to continue to keep that focus inside with almost a relentlessness, not to fall into a pattern in our own process. Some of the points that I'll be taking with me from this call, the difference between loving someone versus identifying with a role-based relationship, the importance of being interested in truth at any cost, and being open to the idea that maybe we don't actually know. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.